Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see Brother David and Sister Fua here with us. And so nobody feels left out. Nice to see all of you. All of you. We are very blessed that you chose to be with us today. By the way, have you noticed there was somebody fear litigation? They always have a little small print, their disclaimer. So I'm not going to put a large print on my disclaimer, okay? Today the topic is going to be a little rough on some of you, but I'm not ready to apologize, so hang in tight. This is for you. The Bible gives us quite a few times a reference to oneness, to be one. And so we decide to approach this a little bit different. Since the lesson we talk about faith, this will be kind of relating to some extent. Look at the scripture for today. It was a prayer for Jesus Christ on your behalf, on my behalf, calling us to be one. There is no two, there is no three, it is to be one. That is the goal, for us to be one. And it says that be one with us as I am with you. Now, one thing that people do not realize, that a lot of people try to have religion without the one. You know the one that I'm talking about? The one who is praying. I pray that they become one with us. A lot of people claim to have the one, and yet they have their own ways. And so the question is, does your religion include the one? So I'd like to invite you to become the one. Okay, so this is the title, Be One. I hope that if you forget anything about even the children, I put this in behalf of the children, the young people that like those things too. So if you forget everything we're going to say, you not forget our invitation for you to become one. To be one, or in some cases, not. There are a lot of people when they are invited by the Holy Spirit to become one, they have other plans. And they say, maybe later. I don't know how many of you have seen people that come to evangelistic campaigns and they listen all the sermons and everything else and they go home and they choose not to be one. I have met many people that I have studied with them and we spend a lot of hours, days, sometimes even years, and they still chose not to become one. Why? Because they had other plans. And so to become one with Christ was not in their agenda. Be is very important. Believe, become, belong. Behave, befriend, bestow, and behold. Now, I put this seven. You know, I have something with the number seven. And so I put seven. All the things that we hear today here is based on those seven principles that you must have. In order for you to have faith, you must believe. Because a lot of people, like we said last week, a lot of people think that belief is sufficient. But believe in what? Why? And so it is important for you to your belief to move you to action, which to become and to belong and to behave. And then relationships to be friends, to bestow and to behold. So that's part of to believe. Last week we talked about faith that works. A faith that works calls us to invite us to fellowship. A faith that works gives us assurance of salvation. A faith that works inspires us. A faith that works plants in us trust. And of course, it leads us to holiness. That is faith. Faith must bring fellowship. Faith must give us assurance. Faith must inspire us. Faith must turn us into a trust individual, and faith accomplishes holiness. Only the faith that works. You have seen, and you need to see again so you don't forget. Just in case somebody was taking a picture of it, there you go. Now, anybody has an idea who this lady was? Eve. I find it always interesting that in the end of believe, there is Eve too. And look what happens. Of course, this is not in the Bible. I'm just assuming that Satan was telling her, I will not lie. I'm telling the truth. And then he started talking and convinced her to believe. Now, do you see what is between B and Eve? Yes, the devil told her, you will not die. Of course, he said, I will not lie. And guess what? That's all he does. Somebody has convinced some people that it is okay to be a Christian if you pick only few commandments. Some you leave it out and everything else. You know the religion, a lot of people are very peculiar how they define their own beliefs. And I put this picture together. It's very clear. Here is a very strong physical individual trying to hammer out the fourth commandment. And you know what? You hit a hammer like this. I have worked in construction before. You hit a hammer like this, and any stone, you crack the whole thing. It's not possible for you just to chop just part of it. You hit, everything goes. And just like this individual stepping on God's law as well. You will not die. A lot of people are preaching from the pulpit that it's okay to keep 9 and it's still you are part of God's family. Many religions are just religions. They are not to try to become one with God. Now, I'm going to talk about a particular religion, an Adventist. By the way, if you are not a member of the Seventh-day Adventist, please, I don't want you to feel excluded, because I'm talking about here the act of hoping for the Jesus Christ coming, okay? Amen. So, who is an Adventist? An Adventist. Are you an Adventist? I'm not talking about belong to the denomination. Do you have hope for Christ to come? Is that what drives your beliefs? Okay. Do you know what it means to be an Adventist? If you ask this question, probably to 1,000 individuals, maybe 999 will say, oh, the ones who go to church on Saturday, or the ones who don't eat pork, or some even will say, oh, a cult. Some people will speak even with hate. I heard a testimony is there still in YouTube of a pastor where he was, somebody talked to him about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He said clearly, I hate you guys. And the people asking why, here's a pastor saying that he was a servant of the Lord to say, I hate you guys. Why? Because you guys are peculiar about the Sabbath. By the way, now he is a believer. He keeps the Sabbath now. So, the true Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventist is a believer who celebrates God's seventh-day Sabbath. Now, if you belong to another denomination, I'd like to ask you, are you an Adventist? Are you a Seventh-day Adventist, or are you a First-day Adventist? Or are you a Friday Adventist? If you look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23, there is a warning for you there. If you choose to claim to be a an Adventist, but does not want to apply to the Sabbath and other Bible teachings. You can read that on your own, okay? From this belief, we get the first part of our church ID. Why we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventist. Anyone know why we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventist? Because God gave us as the remnant a responsibility to show who God is and what God's will is. This has nothing to do as an organization. Please, I want you to make a distinction between a faith and our organization. There is a distinction there. Our organization may change their mind and may go in a different direction. The Roman Church did, and many other churches from the Reform did. When they want to reform the church, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And yet, on their journey, they gave up and they went back to Mama. And the Bible says, the daughters of Babylon. That's where the Bible talks. I told you that this is not going to be easy, okay? Adventist, the term Adventist comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival or appearance. It's talking about Christ. It is where we get the word advent, which refers to the arrival of someone exceptionally important, our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, He is coming. Amen. You better be one before He comes, because you become no one if you choose not to become one. Are you an Adventist?
Yes.
Are you a member of God's end time remnant?
Yes.
Maybe some of you may say, not yet, but I'm ready to become one. Yes, who are anxious, expecting the soon return of someone extremely important, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming. More than 2,000 times, the Bible says He is coming. He is coming. And He has never broken one single promise. And He will not break one. 7 days points back to the beginning of creation. You hear people say, oh, you keep the Jewish Sabbath. Anybody here keeps the Jewish Sabbath? It's a trick question. Be careful. Anybody here keeps the Jewish Sabbath? I hope not. I don't keep the Jewish Sabbath. Anybody here keeps the 7-day Adventist Sabbath?
Yes.
No. I keep the Lord's Sabbath. Why am I trying to say this to you? When you do something, what values what you do is the purpose why you do it. There will be a lot of people that will go to church on Sabbath and never going to see the Lord of the Sabbath, because they are here for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. That's my intent when I ask you those questions. So please be aware, when we observe the Sabbath, we observe the Sabbath because God loves us and we love Him as our Creator.
Amen.
Has to be because our relationship with the one who is in the middle of the Sabbath, our Abba. That's the reason. Adventist points forward to the beginning of our eternity. Isn't it ironic that those that do not spend enough time with Abba now, later on wants to spend eternity with Abba, and won't be able to make it? The time for you to invest in eternity every seventh day is a reminder for you. Are you willing to become one? Are you willing to spend eternity with that one? When Jesus returns, He will redeem His people. Me. Is there anybody else? Yes, He will. When He comes, He will redeem from the power of sin. Do you know what the power of sin means? If you look around, you notice how different we are. We are all very unique, very different. I have a good news and bad news for those that are so concerned about their looks. The Bible says we are all going to be changed. Everything that sin has done to us, physically and mentally, will be forever gone. Oh, I was hoping to hear the strongest amen ever. Amen. Ever. If you are too late to, if you are too, you know, slow to say amen, look at the mirror and says, wow, that's going to change. Everything that sin has done to us, every single thing, the color of our skin, the hair that we may still have or not, everything is going to be taken away. We will be restored to what God always intended us to be. Amen. That day is coming. And I hope you choose to become one with Him very quickly. Our beliefs determine our actions. Everything we do is a result of what we believe. If we believe as an Adventist, the return of Christ is a priority we think about every single day. So here is our ID. Our biblical beliefs, and I emphasize the B, okay? Number one, numero uno, one, the scriptures. That's the basis for everything that we believe. The Holy Scriptures, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, creation, and the nature of humanity. This is the first seven. Now here's another seven. The great controversy between good and evil. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ on our behalf. The experience of salvation, growing in Christ, the church, the remnant and its mission, unity in the body of Christ. The three over there is basically combined in one, but we have here 14. How many more is left? Another 14. Baptism. Jesus talked to Nicodemus. What did he say to him? You must be born again. The Lord's Supper, communion. Seventh-day Adventists, we practice communion very biblically, the way Jesus did. Spiritual gifts and ministries. The gift of prophecy. The law of God. The Sabbath. The stewardship. Yes, stewardship is part of it. Now, the last seven. Christ, Christian. Behavior. I like to put, I'll say that there is Christ in Christian, okay? Amen. Marriage and family. Our society is making a mess of this one, isn't it? Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. I had somebody come here a few years ago and told me, Pastor, there is no such thing as heavenly sanctuary. And he was one of the followers of a somebody that had this kind of view. The second coming of Christ, death and resurrection, the millennium and the end of sin, and the new earth. Home is coming. All right. Now, those are the beliefs. Here's the question. Am I an Adventist if my life does not reflect the biblical beliefs held by the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Do I have the right to say I am a Seventh-day Adventist when I do not believe like a Seventh-day Adventist? You'll be amazed how many people claim to be Adventists and yet they pick and choose what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Do you know why the Roman Church became Roman? Because people came into the church and they decide, by the way, I brought some little idol here, but I'm not willing to give up yet. Would you take me in anyway? Oh, yeah. I know you will change someday. Come in. Then somebody came in, had another issue. Oh, not big deal. I know that God will, you're going to change with the time. Yes, change. He changed everybody else around them. And the church became Roman. The five solas of Reformation. Some people, the Holy Spirit came upon some people and told them, this is wrong. The church needs to be transformed. And they were sincere. They were willing to lose their lives for it. But they did not go far enough. They got tired and they compromised. It says, sola gratia, or by grace alone. And then they say, sola fide, by faith alone. And then, solos Christos, only by Christ alone. And then, sola scriptura, you have heard that, by Bible alone. And of course, they said, soli Deo gloria, you know, only glory to God. This was the five. But you see, it's not possible for you to have these five if you are negligent with any one of them. There's no grace if you do not accept the scripture. Grace has no, you cannot glorify God if on the process you compromise your faith. You compromise your relationship with Christ. And so, here is my own personal version of what the seven essentials. Again, I have something with the number seven. Okay, so seven essentials. Adventist seven essentials. Sola Scriptura. Of course, sola veritas. Some of you here may know what verita means, right? When people say verify, veritas, truth. Solid truth. Sola fide, you know, fidelity, to be faithful, faith. And then, of course, grace. And then baptism. And then Christ. And, of course, everything for God's glory. Those are my seven that I believe they are essential. Is scripture, of course, the base for everything. Truth, faith, grace, baptism, Christ, and glory to God. Those are the essentials of a true believer. Sola Scriptura, this is belief number one. I like this belief because when I was asked if I was ready, I mentioned this before here, if I was ready to be baptized, they started asking me, oh, do you eat pork? Or do you do this? I told them, I had my Bible in my hand. I said to them, whatever it says in this book, I am committed to accept. And they stopped asking me questions. And then I was baptized that afternoon. And I have become one with you, my family, with the Lord, my Lord. That's the day I became one. And I haven't changed my mind. It was the best day of my life. And I know my wife is not going to feel jealous that our marriage was beautiful too. Yes. Sola Scriptura is the belief that Scripture is God's inspired word. Therefore, it is the only, would you say with me, it is the only rule of faith and practice for every believer and every biblical church. I have here with me, it says here, profession of faith. Of course, this is the same, different title as the baptism certificate comes like this too. Some of you that have been baptized not so long ago, you may have something like this. One day, somebody asked me, some pastor asked me, Pastor Elson, do you believe in a spirit prophecy? And instead of saying yes, because I knew the intent of the question, I said, I believe in everything that the Bible teaches. In anything that is agreeing with the Bible, I accept. The Bible is what I take as the basis for my belief. If the spirit prophecy is in accordance with the Bible, I accept the spirit prophecy. If Martin Luther make it a statement that is 100% according to the Bible, I have no problem accepting what Martin Luther said, because the basis for my acceptance and belief is the scripture. Nothing else can govern your beliefs than the Bible. Anytime that you make an exception, you go beyond the Bible, like many denominations has gone. Some denominations, they have created the Third Testament. They call the Book of Mormon. Or some other people use some other things. And there are people, and here is going to hurt, but I'm going to say, because I have to. There are people inside of the Adventist church, organization speaking, that misuse and abuse the spirit prophecy. And try to use the spirit prophecy to replace the Bible, implying that the spirit prophecy and the Bible are not the same, which in itself is a blasphemy. There are people that feel very comfortable in twisting the words of Ellen G. White to assume that it's higher than what the Bible teaches. The only way you can accept the spirit prophecy or anything else, if it's in accordance to the Bible, if you are one with Christ. So here is the statement, is number 5 on the baptismal. It says this, number 5, I believe. You can say with me if you do believe this way too. I believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian. I covenant to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible reading or study. Do you believe?
Yes.
If you believe, you are becoming one.
Amen.
Let's continue. Paul says this. How much of the scripture? Say it again, please. I don't know. It does say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? To teach, for reproof, to correct us, even if it's painful, but to correct. For instruction in righteousness. In other words, to instruct us to become like God. To restore the image of God in us. But even if we, who is we here? Paul is talking about even if we. And by the way, there are a lot of people. Yes, but in this case here says we, the apostles, the leaders of the church. It says, even if we. And then he says, or an angel. Angel here, angelos, it means a messenger. It doesn't mean just someone with the wind on their back. It says, even anyone, that could be even Christ, coming from heaven here and teach you something else. By the way, how would you react if in the news, the whole, everything, the Facebook, all the media, everywhere says that somebody found a book written by Peter that nobody knew about before, not even the Roman Catholic Church, but they found this book. And this book, it says that Peter agrees that a Sunday it's okay to use as worship day.
No.
There are a lot of people that try always to find a statement like this. Oh, here in the scripture it says, Peter said this, Paul said this. I'll tell you one thing. When the Bible tells me the seventh day, I don't need to go search for support from Paul, from Peter, from anything else. Yes, they are part of the scripture. But sometimes people try to pick, like they think that the scripture itself will contradict itself, so it will give me an excuse, a way out for my excuses. I have a Bible text here for you. Preach or any other gospel to you that we have preached to you right now, let him or her be what? A curse means to be, they're going to lose their own salvation. Why? Because they're trying to mislead people to follow their own steps. Verse 9, he says the same thing. As we have said before, I need to say it again because it's so important. So now I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you, than what we have received, it says, let him or her be accursed. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus as a Lord and Savior. I don't want to be barbecued. I like to follow him. Attacking the word. Be sure to do everything I have commanded you. How much? Everything. Do not add anything to it. And do not take anything away from it. Is that clear?
Yes.
The attack in the wood. And the dragon was angry at whom?
Woman.
Who is the woman here?
Church.
The remnant. The one who insists to do only what the Bible says. That's what he calls remnant. Those that do not care about what the Bible says, they are not remnant. They are just part of the big enchilada. They are not the remnant. Remnant is because they insist, I remain no matter what, no matter cost, I will remain faithful because my God was faithful and he gave his life for me. I will remain faithful because my life is his. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children. And for 1,260 years, they killed over 150 million people. That's one estimate. And the church, until this day, have never been held responsible, accountable for what they did. They always find an excuse. All who kept God's commandments and maintained the testimony of Jesus, the faith of Jesus. Revelation 12, verse 17, New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, here is the patience of the saints. It's talk about you. It's talk about you. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 12. How much? The entirety of your word is truth. And you know why I capitalized the word truth and put in that particular color? Because Jesus says, I am the truth. And every one of your righteous judgment endures for how long?
Forever.
John, I mean, that's not John, it's Psalm, supposed to be Psalm. That's a typo mistake there, okay? It's supposed to be Psalm 119, 160. All right? So ignore, it's supposed to be Psalm. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. Sanctify by your truth. The word is truth. Anybody here wants to be a saint? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. At least 6 of you wants to be a saint, okay? Okay, it says the secret to become a saint is spend time with the Word. Spend time with the Word, and the Word will give you the map, the description What steps should take to be like him? John 17:17, very easy to remember. And you will know the truth. And what the truth will do?
Set you free.
Now, who needs to be set free? Those that are captive, right? Those that are being enslaved by sin. Those that are under a terrible master. So you want to be set free? Know the truth. What is the word to know, the verb to know in the Bible means? To have intimate relationship, to become one with. It is an invitation for God to say, come, become one with me. Know the truth, and you'll be free. John 8:32. Now, who said I am? The truth. Remember the story last week? I am the truth and the life. Okay, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. By the way, all those three steps, they represent the same thing. It's just gradually how to get to life. You have to get the way, you have to go through the truth, and then you will get life. I am the Lord. I do not change. Amen. That's why when I find the Sabbath in Genesis, I don't need it to have a repeat of the Ten Commandments. I don't need, if I see in the Ten Commandments, I don't need to see what Paul says about the Sabbath. I don't need to search to try to prove. Oh, by the way, some people sometimes says, oh, I need to give somebody at least 10, 15, 20 verses about the Sabbath to convince somebody. I'll tell you one thing. I was convinced with one verse. One verse. Once that I read, that's it, there was no more question. When you are committed to believe, to obedience, you don't keep always asking, why? Remember the Sabbath, why? Why? When you have the why attitude, yeah, barbecue is in your schedule. For I am the Lord, I do not change. When I use this approach, when you study the Bible, when you read the Bible, before you open the Bible, put this in your mind, I do not change, says the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is not like humans, that today I think one thing, tomorrow I'm going to think something else. The way the Lord is His word is consistent. Malachi 3 verse 6, New King James. There is, the Bible says, there is one Lord. What else does the Bible says? There is one faith and one baptism. By the way, out there, if you research, you're going to find denominations have more than 14 different types of baptism. They call baptism. As a fact, there is only one baptism. What the Bible says. All the others is, they take the baby in their arm and you're baptized. The baby doesn't even know what is going on. I was taken to the church. Just a few days ago, I even saw the picture of the church where I was taken. It's still there. I was taken to that church, and there was someone there that was supposed to be padrino y madrina. In Portuguese, it's padrinho y madrinha. It's like a second parents, that they call it. And, of course, they give some money, and that's part of the ritual. And they put in a document, in the church, they put in a document, Edelson was baptized this day, and present was the mother, and the father, and the grandmother, and so on, and the witnesses there too. And the one who was supposed to, the most important person in the whole picture, doesn't have no clue what is going on. It's Edelson. He has no idea why these people putting water in my face. What for? Or a little salt in my lips. What is that for? I know what baptism is because the Lord is working on my heart and told me when I was listening to the gospel, today is the day that you need to be baptized. And I went, you know the story, I went to the one of the leaders of the school and I said, I want to be baptized. He says, don't make fun of my religion. I said, I want to be baptized. It has to be today. And I was baptized that day, and it was the best decision of my life. Ephesians 4, verse 5, Good News Translation. For there is one God. What else? And there is only, you know, it says, and there is one who brings God and human beings together. The man, Christ Jesus. Some other says, and there is one mediator. Only one mediator. When I read this here, the day that I read this, Virgin Mary, Saint Peter, Saint John, they all changed their job description. I no longer had to pray for them because they did not mediate for me. I realized these people cannot mediate for me. They're all in the grave. They need a mediator. And so this is how, after being indoctrinated, brainwashed with the concept that I have to look into an image of Mary, or I have to look into Peter, or I have to look at some, all the distractions for me to take my eyes from my Savior Jesus Christ is the only mediator, the only one that I can go to. I pray that they may all be one. This is our Bible text for today. Father, may they be in us just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one. And may they be one today so that the world will believe that you sent me. John 17, 21, Good News Translation. Be. Leave. Be. Come. Be. Long. Behave. Befriend, bestow, and behold, he is coming. I hope the Lord will help you today to make a decision to say, I want to become an Adventist. I want to be ready for the Lord to come. I want to make sure that I'm not just pretend to love him, but I want to be there because he is coming for me. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you have not made a decision yet, please do it right away. It's time for you to be one. Amen. God bless.